All right, take your Bibles this morning and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. How many of you, when you were a teenager, friendships were super important to you? Let's see your hands. Come on, all right. I got to tell you, I think friendships are still important, but I think sometimes as teenagers we get it out of balance and our, you know, friendships just get magnified as being the most important thing in life. And then everybody seems to have a best friend. Now, sometimes you change best friends, you know. Somebody's your best friend for a while, and then they're not my best friend anymore, you know. And somebody else is their best friend. And you know how all that drama takes place in the junior high and high school years especially. Well, I remember when I was a youth pastor, there were these two girls that were best friends. And the one's name was Janelle, and the other one's name was Jennifer. And so, you know, you'd be walking into church, and they'd be together, and you'd say, "Hi, Jennifer. Hi, Janelle." And then you'd see them after church, and they'd be together, and say, "Hey, Jennifer. Hey, Janelle." And then, you know, you'd see it sometimes, you know, not even at church. You know, you'd see them at the store, and they'd be together. "Hey, Jennifer, Janelle, how you doing?" And after a while, we got tired of saying Jennifer and Janelle, so we just put it together, and we started calling them Janellifer. "Hey, Janellifer." You see them in the store. "Hey, Janellifer. Hello, Janellifer, how you doing?" And, you know, it's just easy because they were always together. They were companions. Well, last week we looked at Philippians 4:4, where the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." Joy has some companions, some things that go hand in hand with joy, and we're going to see those in verses 5 through 8. Now, I should mention this. Someone said, "Pastor, you're reading verse 4 wrong. I got a King James Bible, and my Bible says, 'Rejoice in the Lord always.' And again, I say, 'Rejoice.'" And somebody else says, No, I got a King James Bible, and it says, 'Rejoice in the Lord always.' And again, I say, 'Rejoice.'" Okay, how many have always in yours? And how many have always? Okay. Don't worry, you still have a King James Bible, even if it says always. It's just there's different printings, and there's like a Cambridge printing and an Oxford printing or something like that, and it's just a spelling variation. So don't think you got to throw your Bible away or anything. You're okay, you'll be all right. But most of them say always, so that's what I've gone with today. Let's look at some of joy's companions, verses 5 through 8. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Let's pray together. Father, I ask your blessing upon the reading of your word. And now as we consider some of joy's companions from this passage, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Father, I know that the message you've laid upon my heart will fall upon deaf ears unless your Holy Spirit is at work. I pray that I be a Spirit-filled preacher, and I pray that these people would be Spirit-filled listeners today. Father, would you accomplish all that you intend to do? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When you consider this passage as a whole, you can look at it a couple of different ways. You can look at verses 5 through 8 as being the results of rejoicing. If you rejoice in the Lord always, then you'll have these results. Your moderation will be known unto all men. Your prayer for others, your mediation for others will be recognized and heard, and God will give you peace in your heart. And if you rejoice, it'll help you to think right. You'll think on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. And you can look at this passage as the results of rejoicing. Or you could look at it as the way to rejoicing. You could read this passage as like a how-to guide. You read verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. That's hard. It's hard to rejoice when I'm going through some tough times. How do I do that? Well, first of all, moderation. Let your moderation be known unto all men. And we'll talk about what that means probably next week. And then mediation, prayer. How do you rejoice? You go to the Lord in prayer about these things. And you pray for yourself and for others. And you mediate for others as well. And it's kind of a how-to guide. And then you say, well, how do I rejoice? You got to think right. You got to think on things and focus on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. And then you'll be able to rejoice. So which way is it? Are these the results of rejoicing or the way to rejoicing? The answer is yes. Okay, yes, it's both of them. It can be considered both ways. And so I like to look at it this way. These qualities are companions to joy. Wherever joy is found, these three are going to be. Either the results of joy or the way to joy. You can look at it either way, but these are companions to joy. There's at least three of them. Moderation, mediation, and meditation. And today we'll just look at one of them, actually the second one, mediation. So verse number 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Hey, the Lord's coming back, and so we better take this seriously. And then we come to verse 6. Let's read verse 6 and 7 out loud together. Are you ready? You got it? Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's a great, great promise of Scripture for peace. But did you notice that it's in the context of joy? The book of Philippians is the joyful church. Philippians chapter 4 focuses on joy. And verse number 4 commands us to rejoice in the Lord always. And then we come to this idea of prayer, or what I want to call today, mediation. Now, 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us who the one mediator is. Do you guys know who the mediator is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is our mediator. He is our go-between between us and God. We can go to God through Jesus Christ. By the way, Mary is not our mediator. Okay? We don't go to God through Mary. Mary was highly favored among men, among women, but still she was highly favored among women, not above women. Okay? Not above women. And so she is not a mediator, but Jesus is the mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one mediator. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Him, we can have access to God. Through prayer, especially prayer for others, we participate with Christ in His mediation, in His being a mediator. You see, the Bible says that when we got saved, we got put in Christ. He's the one mediator. But if we're in Christ, then we can participate with Him in mediation or in going to God for others and praying for our needs and for others' needs. At salvation, we are placed in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Okay, we're in Christ. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then look at the beginning of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 1. Just flip back real quick. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Okay, everybody who was saved, the saints were in Christ Jesus. So, yes, Jesus is the one mediator. Ah, but when I got saved, I got placed in Him. And therefore, I can participate in mediation, in going to God through Jesus Christ. I can go to God for my own needs and for the needs of others. And we call that prayer. You know, a joyful Christian is a praying Christian. Because one of the companions of joy is this mediation or this prayer. Let's look at verse 6 a little bit more in depth. You see, rejoicing produces right praying, and right praying produces rejoicing. If you see a grumpy Christian, the Christian's not praying. I had some things happen this morning that got me a little bit grumpy. And I said, Lord, this isn't right. It's sin to be grumpy. Take this grumpiness away. And right prayer produces rejoicing, and rejoicing produces the right prayer. They're companions. So let's look at verse 6 a little bit. It starts out, it says, be careful for nothing. Some of the kids say, see, Dad, see, Mom, I don't have to be careful. I can break a glass in the sink, and you shouldn't get mad, because it says, be careful for nothing. So I don't have to be careful anymore. I can just be careless. No, wait a second. Be careful for nothing means be full of care about nothing. The idea is don't worry. Don't worry about things. You see, worry and care don't mix. Worry and prayer don't mix. Care and prayer mix like fire and water. Okay, care and prayer do not mix. We cannot pray when we're worrying, and we can't worry when we're praying the right way. Do you ever think about worry? Worry is probably the silliest of all sins. The Bible says that sin is attractive because there's a pleasure of sin for a season. You know, later on, it pays its dividends and you wish you hadn't done it. But the reason that people give in to temptation a lot of times is because there's some temporary pleasure. The Bible calls it the pleasure of sin for a season. And it doesn't pay. But that's how the devil gets us to yield. He makes it look pleasurable. But think about worry. There's no pleasure in that sin. There's not even the pleasure of sin for a season in the sin of worry. It's perhaps the silliest of sins. Worry doesn't change the item about which you're worried. Did you ever fix something because you worried about it? No, you see, worry doesn't fix the item. And then worry takes us away from prayer, which is the real solution to the problem. So worry is perhaps the silliest of sins. And so the Bible says, be full of care about nothing. Don't worry. Oh no, how am I going to pay these bills? Or where am I going to get a job? Or what's that person going to say to me? Or they're mad at me. What are we going to do about this? The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry, because prayer and care don't mix. Secondly, it says, but in everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. In everything, praying and praising. In everything, praying and praising. In everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Prayer and praising in everything. That's hard to do. It's a tall order. But again, it goes hand in hand with rejoicing. If I'm going to be a rejoicing person, then I'm going to pray and praise about everything. And if I want to be a rejoicing person, then I need to obey the command and pray and praise about everything. In everything. There's no exceptions. The good, the bad, in everything, praying and praising. Again, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. By prayer. This word translated prayer is just the general term for addressing God. The general term for addressing God. It's used for all different facets of prayer, but it is addressing God. I wondered this morning, do we recognize that we are actually addressing God and He's actually listening when we pray? I appreciate the response of some of our young people. I talked to two or three of them at different times in the last couple of weeks about the importance of praying with us when we have prayer at church. I guess I got that habit as a youth pastor of always peeking when I pray, and I, you know, saw them messing around. So I went to them, and they had a great response. They said, "Oh, okay, we're sorry, Pastor. Yeah, we know we're talking to God. We'll get that fixed. We'll pray with you." And they had a great response to me coming to them. But you know, even if you don't mess around when people are praying, sometimes we just sit there with our eyes closed, we daydream, we think about other things. Hey, we are actually addressing God. Sometimes preachers, we fall into a rut of praying some kind of fancy prayer, you know, and we always say the same things. And sometimes I have to take a deep breath and say, wait a minute. Mark, you are addressing God right now. Think about what you're saying. Think about what you're saying. We're talking to the God of the universe. Think about what a privilege that is. We have the ability and the command to address God. To address God. The next word says supplication. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, addressing God, and supplication. This word supplication means asking due to a need. Asking due to a need. It could be your own need, the thing that you're facing in your life. It could be the needs of others. Supplication has the idea of praying for other people. That's why I use this word mediation. We are going to God on the behalf of someone else. We are mediating. We're going to God on their behalf. But supplication means asking. Do we ask God for things? Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Matthew 7:11 says, "If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" Matthew 18:19, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 21:22, "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." But you've got to ask. John 14:13, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." John 15:7, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." John 15:16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." John 16:24, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." There it is again, linking asking with rejoicing. "Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." James 4:2, "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." 1 John 3:22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." 1 John 5:14-15, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." You see, supplication is asking. What have you asked God about this week? What are you asking him for? What is the petition of your heart? Not only in your heart, but actually formalized into prayer. Maybe verbalized with an out loud prayer. Psalm 77:1 says, "Unto God I cried unto thee with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me." And maybe it'll be an out loud prayer. But what are you asking God to do? If we don't ask him to do anything, then he's not obliged to do anything for us. He's told us to ask. And that's what supplication is all about. And when you ask, then He answers, and you have rejoicing. You say, well, Pastor, I've been asking, and He hasn't answered. Well, He hasn't answered yet. God's either going to answer that prayer, or He's going to tell you in your heart to stop praying it. Okay? He'll take away your peace about it. We talked about that in Sunday school today, how God leads through peace. And you know, some people say, well, God answered my prayer, He just answered it no. Well, if He answers it no, the way He does that is He tells you not to keep praying for it. Okay? It can almost be a cop-out. Does God answer your prayers? Yeah, He answered it no. Well, it's kind of like a cop-out. You see, He doesn't just answer it no unless He tells you, hey, I don't want you praying for that. Okay? That's a no answer. Okay? There's something you're asking that isn't according to my will. Because if it's according to His will, then He hears us and He answers. The other thing involved is importunity. That word means we've got to keep on asking. Keep on asking. And sometimes the Lord's doing a work in us. And if He just gave it the answer right away, then He wouldn't be working on us and making us what He wants us to be. And so sometimes He wants us to keep on asking and keep on asking until He either answers or He changes that request. But you know, when you pray, when you're a praying Christian, you become a rejoicing Christian, because mediation and rejoicing go hand in hand. They go together. One of you told me this morning in Sunday school about the opportunity to witness to a relative. And I'll tell you what, something happened in my heart, because on Wednesday night, the day before Thanksgiving, we prayed specifically that God would give an opportunity to somebody in our church to witness to their relative over Thanksgiving. And so because we prayed that way, when you gave that testimony in Sunday school, man, there came joy. There came joy, especially in my heart, because I knew that the Lord had led us to pray especially about that. Now, we always pray for unsaved people, but we prayed especially, specifically, that God would enable somebody to witness to their relative, and then the Lord did it. And doesn't that make you happy when you have an answered prayer? There's nothing like it. So prayer brings rejoicing. But it has to be the right kind of praying. Look down at verse 6 again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. You see, the right kind of praying includes the giving of thanks all year round. Not just at Thanksgiving time. All right, I know this is Thanksgiving Sunday, the Sunday after the holiday, and so we want to talk about Thanksgiving some. But you know, we ought to be giving thanks to God all year round. When this verse was written, there wasn't any such thing as the Thanksgiving holiday. All right? We're supposed to give prayer with thanksgiving. Now, let me ask you something. If we go to God in prayer, and we obey that part of the command, but we don't obey the part about with thanksgiving, then have we obeyed the command? No, we haven't. You see, if we disobey one part of the command, then we haven't obeyed. We have got to include in our prayer thanksgiving. Now, I just quoted a number of verses for you that talk about asking God. Brother John R. Rice is a tremendous writer. I actually heard him preach before he died. He's a tremendous preacher. And he has a book called Prayer, Asking and Receiving. And if you've never read it, you ought to read it. In one chapter in his book, he makes the point that prayer is asking. And he makes that point so strongly that he says, prayer is not praising, prayer is not thanking, prayer is asking. And he's really strong on it. And he's trying to make the point. But I really think that prayer does involve other facets like praising and thanking. And we've got to include that in our prayer times as well if we're going to pray the right way. Now, many Christians think that they fulfill that obligation by saying, Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. There, I've said thank You for this day. I've expressed thankfulness. So now I've prayed with thanksgiving, and now I can start asking God for everything on my list. Whatever I want. Dear Jesus, I want this and this and this and this and this. And if You would bring me this and this and this and this, I would be really happy. Now, wait a second. with thanksgiving has got to mean more than thank you for this day. Thank you for the missionaries. Thank you for our church. Okay, I think, see, biblical thankfulness has the idea of being mindful of the good that God has done for me. Being mindful of it. And so one of the ways that I think we ought to pray to help us express thankfulness, and you could try this, is thank you for blank because blank. How about thank you for this day because I was able to get out of bed this morning when many are not able. Thank you for this day because it's an easy day to rejoice with the weather being so beautiful here in sunny South Florida. Thank you for this day because I can get up to breakfast and look at my family and see the wife and the kids you've given me. Lord, I am really blessed. The kids spilled orange juice on the table. Yeah, but think about the blessing that you have of having those kids. Thank you for this day because. Lord, thank you for this church. Okay, how about thank you for my church because I get to meet with people who love the Lord. Thank you for my church because they're trying to stay by the Bible when many churches are drifting. Thank you for my church because there's a joyful spirit there. There's an excitement about the things of the Lord. Thank you for my church because there are people getting saved and people getting baptized. Okay, thank you for my church because. Thank you for my family because. You see, this is where we can, in prayer, actually express gratefulness to God. And I challenge you to do it. I challenge you to take some time during your prayer times to say, Lord, thank you for such and such. And then don't stop there. Say, because, and be mindful of the goodness of God in our lives. We can respond in different ways to God's dealing in our lives. And this verse says, in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. I think we can respond with murmuring. God, why is this happening to me? A lot of us are a little more spiritual than that. And so we've got past the murmuring part, and we respond and we say, okay, Lord, whatever you say. I don't understand it, but I'll submit to your will. Okay, and that's better than murmuring, okay? I call that resignation. We say, okay, Lord, you're in control. It's kind of like the Calvinist. You know, a Calvinist believes that everything that happens, God made it happen, and there's no way to change it. By the way, strict Calvinism would make you think, why should I pray? Because God's going to do what he's going to do anyway. I heard about this Calvinist one time. He twisted his ankle in a hole, and he looked back and said, boy, I'm glad that's over with. Because, you know, there's no way to change it. You know, it's going to happen no matter what. Well, resignation is better than murmuring, okay? But I think we can go another step. And that step is thanksgiving. How am I going to respond to the things that God brings in my life? And am I going to respond with murmuring, God, why is this happening to me? Here, I'm trying to serve you, and my dishwasher breaks, and my washing machine breaks, and my car breaks down, and this happens, and that happens, and I'm trying to serve you. Murmuring or resignation, oh, okay, Lord. I guess I just have to go through the trials of life and help me through it, Lord. Here we go. Or thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. You know, as I was preparing this message last week and looking over some things the last couple of days, I had a bout with a kidney stone. Now, some of you have had kidney stones, and you know it's not any fun. It's one of those things that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. And here I was thinking about this message and saying all these things I was going to preach to you, you know. And I'm tempted to murmur, Lord, why am I having another kidney stone? I haven't had any for 5 years. It's been great. And I've been drinking all this water and trying to watch my diet. And now I'm having another. No, wait a minute. No murmuring. Okay, Lord. Just help me through it. I'm submitted to your will. resignation, and I thought, wait a minute, how about thanksgiving? Lord, I thank you for this kidney stone. Wait, I can't stop there. I got to fill in the blank. Lord, I thank you for this kidney stone because, and it took me a little while. It took me a little while. But I'm serious now. I said, Lord, thank you for this kidney stone because it shows me that I need you. It shows me that I can't think, oh, I'm going to get up there and preach in 2 days, or I'm going to preach tomorrow and get up there and stand in the pulpit and preach this message, because I might be doubled over in pain and not be able to preach this message. I'm planning to go soul winning tomorrow. Actually, I was driving to soul winning and I got another little tinge. And I prayed and I said, Lord, soul winning is too important for me to be having a kidney stone right now. I said, hold it off until after. And the Lord did. I didn't have any problem during soul. I didn't feel a thing. You know, everything was great. But thank you for this because you're teaching me that I've got to depend on you. We tend to be self-sufficient. We think, oh, I can make it. You know, I'm a little sick, but I'll just buck up. I'll just toughen up. So sometimes the Lord brings things in our lives to help us depend on Him and realize that He is everything. And without Him, John 15:5, I am nothing. And so in everything, give thanks. Lord, thank you for such and such because. And then finally the verse says, let your request be made known unto God. Let your request be made known unto God. The giving of thanks is one of the things that makes prayer to God different than rubbing a genie's lamp. You know, some people treat God like a genie, and we should ask Him for things. But what's the balance between asking Him for things and treating Him like genie in a bottle? Lord, I'm going to make 3 wishes. Please give me this. Or, you know, Santa, here's my list. What's the difference between asking God and treating God like some kind of cosmic Santa Claus for all the things that we want? The difference, I think, is with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. You see, we come to God and we praise Him for who He is. And we thank Him for all the things He's done. And then we can say, Lord, I thank You that You told me to come to You with my needs. And that I'm one of Your kids. And You want to hear from me. And now I'm ready to ask for some things. Now, Lord, if I'm asking for something that's wrong and not according to Your will, then, Lord, I'll do Your will. Just show me. It's not like, gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy, you know. No, it's, Lord, I surrender. I surrender these desires. And then we ask. And the thing that makes God different than a cosmic Santa Claus is this phrase, with thanksgiving. But then the end of the verse says, let your request be made known unto God. So don't feel bad about it. Don't think like, oh, I feel bad just going to God and asking for things. No, we're supposed to ask Him for things. Let your request be made known unto God. We're commanded to do it. Sometimes we're asking amiss. James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. If you ask for things out of lust, out of unbalanced desire, just because you want it no matter what, well then God's not going to answer. But as we allow Him to mold our hearts and our minds and our thinking through our prayer times, we will pray according to His will and we'll see Him answer. You know, it may be that we should never bring a request to God without also bringing Him thanks. It really may be. Now, I know emergency situation, you know, you're driving your car and all of a sudden potential accident about to happen. Lord, help me. Okay, you didn't give thanks first. Well, okay. But it very well may be that in most situations, we should not bring our request unless we bring them with thanksgiving. And when we do, the right kind of praying gives peace. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Okay, your heart will have peace. Your mind will have peace. All in Jesus Christ. And that'll give rejoicing, won't it? If you could just have peace, if you could just be at rest and at peace and not have to worry about things and not be all wrought up, man, you could be a joyful Christian. Yeah. This kind of right praying, this mediation is a companion with joy. We've got to pray right. We've got to pray with thanksgiving. But when we do, the Lord will give us and restore the joy of our Christian life. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Maybe our rejoicing needs to be revived through having a prayer revival and saying, Lord, I'm going to pray right. I'm going to ask you for things, and I'm going to include thanksgiving, and I'm going to be thankful for the things that you're doing in my life. And when you do, you can look for God to help you rejoice. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.